This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest. Together we move fast, trying to grow up slow. Our hopes were high, our overhead was low. They all told me you weren't the only one I'd ever find. We had road ahead, miles behind. Nothing's very easy when you're on the move. Little to depend on and a lot to prove. I almost lost you when I almost lost my mind. We had road ahead, miles behind. I was thinking about her, I was thinking about my home. Nothing I could get without her could ever be called my own. 'Cause you've got nothing when you're alone, yeah.
Vans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all corners of the globe, to fans everywhere, near and far, huddled over a laptop, listening anxiously through your earbuds as you maybe hop a flight this summer, flying somewhere fantastic. You queue up your iPod or your iPhone or whatever listening device you have, and you tune in to your downloaded version of the P2 Podcast. Perhaps you're going straight online to p2podcast.com to figure out what is going on in the world, to stay in the know, all things music, all things life. Phil Pritchett here, folks. Thrilled to be with you. How's everybody doing? How is everyone doing this summer? Oh, man, of course it's hot. I get angry when people say, man, it's hot, isn't it? God, it's hot. Like, they're so surprised. You know, it's Texas. It's summer. It's hot as hell. That's the way it goes. But right here, P2, boots, jeans, long sleeve shirt. You can count on it every time. Thank you very much. As Pete Coatney, the great drummer, once said, hey, to be cool, you got to be willing to be hot, or something to that effect. So I'm trying my best here. No shorts and flip-flops for P2. Out there trudging around, jeans, boots, hat, scarf. No scarf. But hoping to stay cool. You know, my deal on clothing and staying cool for summer is to cover up. Now, follow my thinking here. You know, we as Americans, we get hot. What do? We take off a shirt. Ah, we're in shorts. Jeez, it's hot. Man, when you look at the guys who really know how to be hot, those guys out here working on the road, man, guys mowing yards for a living, what are they wearing? Are they out there in their Tevas and short shorts and a tank top? Hey, man, my job's hot, so I'm dressing like this. The answer is hell no, man. What do they got on? I'll tell you what they've got on. Long sleeve blue denim shirt, jeans, boots, a big hat with like a towel under the hat kind of fanned out over the back of the neck. Man, you just keep those clothes kind of wet. You sweat. You stay nice and cool. It keeps the sun off. That's the way to do it. So there's a little dress for summer advice from P2. Stay cool and look great. Huh? All right. Well, speaking of staying cool and hopefully looking great, I don't know. Hopefully. Man, oh, man, I took my little my little respite to Colorado here the last couple months. Now, this we always I go up to Colorado quite a lot. Spend several weeks up there. Try to every year. Mostly in the summer. Oh, man, beautiful up there, but dry. Oh, man, they're really wanting the rain. Just like here in Texas, man, the whole middle part of the country. We're just in this this suffocating drought, man. It's terrible. But the weather was nice up there, nice and cool up there near outside of Colorado Springs. We're hanging out. Caught some rainbow trout. Oh, man, just enjoyed it. Just enjoyed it. I spent a day, Father's Day. My Father's Day present was I got a free pass. This my wife, the kids, they said, Dad, just go wherever you want. So I get up, I pick up the old fly rod. I go, man. Now, I haven't done just a whole lot of river fishing up around the camp there in Colorado where we hang out. But you got 11 mile canyon there, 11 mile canyon right outside of Lake George in Colorado off of Highway 24. You go to Colorado Springs going up from here on Interstate 25. You turn left on Highway 24. That'll take you through Divide and through Woodland Park and Florissant onto Lake George. A lot of great water up there, the South Platte River, three forks of the South Platte River flow through there. Great trout fishing, 11-mile reservoir, Lake George, all that kind of stuff. So, but the canyon is, it's just a river running through this canyon for 11 miles. So that was fun. Didn't catch any fish. I had a couple of really good hits, though, man. We're talking about some fly fishing with our old friend Blake Walker a couple weeks ago. Oh, so fun, man. That water was cold, but, man, I'm telling you what, I got used to it. I had no waders. I didn't bring waders, you know, or anything like that. But I just had the rod, my little box of flies. I was just waist-deep, jeans and boots, and a cowboy hat. In the stream of Colorado, man. Gunning for the rainbows and cutthroat. Oh, man. God, it was great. Absolutely fantastic. But, man, dry up there. It's funny. They've had tons of snow. Tons of snow up there in the Continental Divide around Breckenridge. You know, all the ski areas up along I-70, Aspen Vale. They've had record snows. They were still skiing up there in early June. Just incredible. So they've had an incredible amount of moisture. You know, you drive these highways up around there. They got the Smoky Bear signs, like, you know, fire danger today, you know, low or extremely high or whatever. You know, down in the Front Range, it was all very dry, so, you know, very high danger. But we drove up, you know, one day to a Breckenridge ski resort, and tons of snow up there, and the fire danger was very low. And heck of a lot of snow, man, just beautiful up there. In fact, like June 10th or, I don't know, the 14th or something like that, we woke up there at the camp. In Florissant, overcast day, kind of rainy, nice and cool. It was like 38 degrees. Oh, man, you hear what I just said? 38 degrees there in Colorado. Oh, my gosh, just put on the sheepskin. Went down to breakfast for some hot eggs at the Great Blue Mountain Ranch. If you got kids, send your kids there. Blue Mountain Ranch, checkitout.com. I'm a former camper, former counselor, and I spend a couple weeks up there every summer. Outstanding, changed my life. For more, email me, Phil at philbridger.com. As always, well, so that morning, man, was great. Cold. In fact, that day they got like 4 inches of snow at Breckenridge, right up, you know, on the Continental Divide, up in the ski resort. Just phenomenal, just amazing. Elk everywhere. Man, Colorado, why do we live in Texas, man? I love Texas, don't get me wrong. Love it. Die for it. No question about it. But I'm telling you what, as the old song says, you know, Colorado must take the stand. She's made an adulterer of a happily married man. Oh, words of wisdom there. And she has indeed. But we had a heck of a time up there. Oh, what else do we do? Did a lot of driving up there. You know, later in the spring, you know, gas got expensive. It's more expensive up in Colorado than it is here around Texas. So, man, I was worried. I go, you know, I saw that gas going up. I go, man, it's gonna be like $4.50 when we get up there in June. You know, we're just gonna have to hunker down and put the truck on blocks for a couple of weeks, stay off the roads. But you know, I mean, it's still expensive, but not high enough to keep me off the roads, man. I don't know, it's $3.50, $3.60 maybe up there. So not too bad. We have had years recently, a couple years ago, man. It was like $4.15, $4.25 all summer. But nothing like that this time. So, man, we drove like crazy. Kids just go to sleep. You know, we have nap period, rest period. The kids kind of fall asleep in the car. me and my wife, we just kind of drive around. Just start following a river or something and start driving. Looking for property, looking for P2's ranch, his future ranch up there somewhere. Some of you bands, get excited out there, man. I'm going to find me a little place eventually and have a little studio up there, hopefully. Then how about that? I mentioned it on the last podcast or two. You have, you know, record at Trinidad here in Fort Worth in the great studio. Or for a little extra, you know, you drive up to Colorado. I'll meet you up there, man, in the cool, in the woods, the cabin there. We'll write and record, have a little rig up there. Maybe it wouldn't have to be anything real big, you know, but enough to just record some basic tracks, and then, you know, we could bring them back here and mix them later on. Wouldn't that be awesome? Get in some fishing, you know, sit out by the fire at night. Oh, maybe I need to start my own summer camp, you know? Or maybe I can use the camp Blue Mountain Ranch up there, you know? Hey, let me know. Email me that. Phil@philpritchard.com. Another idea here. Would you, you know, pay some money to say, hey, man, I'm going up, flying up to Colorado Springs. Phil picks us up in a van, drives us out to the camp. He's got guitars, got a little recording rig. For 4 days, man, we sit around, we pick songs, we write songs, we goof around, we fish, we hike, whatever. I think it'd be like a long day weekend in the fall. Maybe like 4 days. I know everybody works. You know, it's hard. You can't get away for like a week, you know, Monday through Friday kind of deal. I really was thinking about this. I don't know how many of you are out there. Maybe you, Kevin Haggard. Maybe you, Eric Albers, and some of your other ones out there. Yes, you maybe send in your check and be up there. But how many? How many would just say, you know what? I don't know. Maybe that first weekend in October or, you know, September, late September, something like that. You get on a plane in Texas here somewhere, either Houston or Dallas probably. Early that Friday morning, land around noon. I pick you up there. We go out to the ranch. Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, you know, then maybe get on a plane Monday at noon or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Great food, music, hang out, write goofy songs, record, fish. I don't know, man. Maybe I can get some Texas music luminaries to tag along. Not like one of these cheesy like rock and roll summer camps. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just picking and playing and fishing and hanging out in the cool air. Around the campfire. I ponder. Well, send me an email if you're down for that. I don't know. If I get 4, 5, or 6, maybe we'll just go ahead and do it. Phil@philpritchard.com. Say, Phil, Pritchard songwriting summer camp, adult summer camp, or you can be in high school or college, whatever. Let me know. Phil@philpritchard.com. Well, I was horrified driving home. We drive up there, of course. Boy, you get the wildfires up there when it gets dry, man. Dangerous stuff. They got them in New Mexico now. We've had them in Texas, of course, up here. Crikey. While I was up there, we heard that there was a big fire in Raton Pass, northern New Mexico, you know, where you come through driving from Texas, which we'd driven through there, of course, before. It was fine, but up at the camp, they're like, man, Raton Pass, big fire. Of course, I don't know if it was exactly Raton Pass, like the highway or just kind of, you know, around there. Man, we're driving through. You get over the pass to the New Mexico side. Oh, man, it was just scorched. Both sides of the highway, just black pine trees, just charred, man, just black earth as far as the eye can see. Right there in the pass, man, right on the riding right over the pass between Colorado and New Mexico. Pretty shocking, man, hot and windy. Around those parts, and but they finally got it out, and we are all the better for it. Let the healing begin. I don't know. I said to a friend of mine, I go, man, it might be like that for another 5 or 10 years, but they come back pretty quick, man. There's a big fire up by the camp a little while ago up in the Terryall Mountains. The Hayman fire was a huge fire, and you still see evidence of it, but, man, it's amazing how much that forest bounces back, you know, comes back from that. The little pine tree shooting up through the ashes, man. Shooting up through the ashes. I don't know. One of those circles of life kind of things. A tragedy to fight it, but rebirth is also at hand. I hope that inspires you a little bit this summer as it gets hot. And I hope some of you Texans out there, maybe I'm not trying to make you jealous or angry talking about the cool weather, but maybe as you sit there sweating it out wherever you are right now, you're thinking of those cool Colorado icy waters, catching those rainbow trout. 38 degrees. And hey, let me know if you're interested in the Phil Pritchard Songwriting Summer Camp. Just a thought, just in the opening stages here. But who knows, man, if we get, I don't know, even if you got like 5 people, 10 people, something like that, said, hell yeah, let's do it. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? I'll meet you up there. We'll hang. It'd be great. PhilFPritchard.com. Well, well. Coming up in our next segment, I'm going to ponder, you understand, the death of the movie star. The death of the movie star, question mark, in our next segment. Stay tuned.
Bells in the town steeple always ring on time, demanding the hours and minutes always stay in line. Visions of you ring through me when they start to chime. We've got road ahead, miles behind.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all corners of the globe, to fans everywhere, worldwide, wherever you may be. In Australia, on a ship at sea, huddled over your laptop, or sitting on a crowded airplane with your iPod or iPhone in your pocket, with your just hurrying and trembling as you put your earbuds in your ears to listen to your downloads of the P2 Podcast. Ah, loading up on those shows. I get so many emails from me out there saying, oh, I got a long road trip coming, P2, man. But you know what? I've downloaded the last 5 podcasts. That's 5 hours of Pritchett insight, wisdom, and storytelling. I can't wait for my long drive, wherever they're headed for the summer. Very flattering. I love hearing from you all out there. Keep them coming, as always. Phil at PhilPritchard.com. How you doing, fans? Phil here with you for the weekly podcast. Last week, catching up Colorado, etc., all the things going on up there, all the good things like cold water, fish, mountains, snow, and beauty, and some of the bad things, hot, windy, forest fires, stuff like that. Oh, man. But you know what? It's all good. It's more good than bad, you know. Colorado. Loved it, man. Well, man, I'm back here in Texas now. Back here in Texas. Fort Worth. You know, it's hot, of course. But you know what? Walking around, the heat, it feels like home. You know, you get in that swimming pool with the kids and you're just hanging out. It feels right. You know, after all, I grew up here. Never really lived anywhere else for any length of time. I don't know. Tennessee, Nashville for a little while. Visit Colorado quite a bit. But hey, the heat is home. The heat is home. Give me a cold beer and a garden hose. I'm all right. I can get through August. It's just September where it starts to beat me down. You know, I want to go to college football games and smell and feel the crisp air. And when you hit me with those 103 days in mid-September, I get a little mad. That's where it's no fun. That's where it is no fun. Oh, man. Well, well, as always, I'm keeping abreast of things. God, I had no news up there in Colorado. The worst of which, remember Blake Walker coming in a few weeks ago? Walker, Texas road manager. Dropping in, the Mavs were in the midst, Dallas Mavericks basketball, in the midst of their championship run. We didn't know where it was headed. We're like, man, it looks good now. Who knows? Well, sure as heck, as soon as I get out of the state up in Colorado, we win the whole damn thing. The whole damn thing gets won by the Mavs. Now I got to see it, of course, up there. We watched on TV. Oh, but I didn't get to bask in the afterglow, man. The newspapers articles, the news stories, the coverage. I wasn't around for it, man. I was a little robbed of it. You know, some Colorado, grumbling Denver Nuggets fans just going, yeah, the Mavs won, I guess. Yeah, Nowitzki, he's pretty good. Just that kind of stuff. I'm just like, ah, what, do you have a newspaper or something? It's just like a little bitty article, you know. Parade in Dallas goes off without a hitch. I'm just like, ah. Oh, I was pining, longing. I should have emailed you guys to send me a copy of the Dallas Morning News or something so I could just, you know, throw it over my face and just smell it and read it and just revel in the afterglow of the victory. So congratulations, Dallas Mavericks. Congratulations to long-suffering Mav fans, all of us here in Texas. But not long-suffering. Come on, we've been a darn good team for the last, 10 years, some odd years. A great tradition now. Even greater with a championship on the wall. So fun to see, man. Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, some of those older guys get a title. Jason Terry. And it's just a good team. A good team. Oh, I don't know, man. I couldn't have counted myself among the believers early on. You know, we'd be playing well. Then LeBron just comes down the paint with a dunk. I'm like, we got no answer for this. We got no answer for this. The prevailing wisdom in a lot of circles. And, man, I pulling for the Mavs, of course. But, man, you had to just keep your faith at arm's length, your belief a little bit, given the Mavs' tough playoff history. And, man, when you see Dwayne Wade and LeBron just throwing down dunks, you're just like, man, you know, we're going to get into this series here, and they are just transcendent players. And they're going to do transcendent things when the time comes to do so. But, man, who knows, man? LeBron, he seemed to faded there a little bit. I don't know. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but you know what I'm talking about. He didn't come out and just take over in the fourth quarter of the games, man. He was kind of always playing good defense, always passing the ball well, you know, making the shots here and there, the big dunks. But, man, it's not just taking over. In fact, it was our own German seven-footer, of course, Dirk, who was the most transcendent of all, man, just reining in those ridiculous fadeaways from the top of the key, unstoppable. Oh, it was fun to watch, man. It was fun to watch. Well, 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 what else do we have? Man, Phil here, always keeping abreast of the news in the good old Wall Street Journal. The question's still out there. I haven't gotten an email telling me otherwise. What other Texas music or Red Dirt musician do you know has a subscription to the Wall Street Journal? I don't know. I don't know if there is one. I'm sure there is, but I don't know who it is. If it's you, email me, phil@philpritchard.com. But I was struck by this story that was in there that said, I'm talking about entertainment a lot here on the site, changing on the podcast, changing entertainment environment. This guy ponders aloud the death of the movie star. The death of the movie star. Think about it. What drove the movie business for so long? Man, the stars, man. We're going way back, of course. You got Clark Gable, John Wayne, Audrey Hepburn. I mean, they were just, whatever they were in, people went. It was a star deal. And this guy points out, and man, to a shocking extent in his article, how much that is just not true today. These big stars, quote-unquote, Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, they go make these movies that kind of nobody goes to see. Now, I'm talking about the serious acting roles, the Oscar-type stuff. It just doesn't get out there. No one goes to see it. Bombs at the box office, bad reviews. Johnny Depp's deal has been like Alice in Wonderland. Of course, Pirates of the Caribbean. Kind of the cartoon superhero genre. Event movies, this guy was pointing out, has replaced the vehicle for the star. You know, they're all comic, very familiar TV shows, comic book heroes, stuff we've seen a million times. Captain America, Green Lantern, Thor, stuff like that. It's not so much about the actor. It's just the event of the movie. Transformers 3 or whatever garbage they got out there. It doesn't matter who the lead is. Spider-Man, stuff like that was... It didn't... I mean, it made Tobey Maguire... Wasn't he the lead in that first Spider-Man? It made him a star. I mean, he had some other roles, but now, as a result of being in Spider-Man, it has not made it so that Tobey Maguire can now just go have a Tobey Maguire vehicle, you know, for the summer blockbuster season. I think there's a lot of truth to that, especially with the older actors this guy was pointing out. I think there's a new Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts movie. That, you know, he's kind of going to night school. He's an older guy going to school. They kind of fall in love. But, man, there was a time not too long ago where just whatever Tom Hanks was in, everybody just kind of went to see. You know, going back into the 80s and stuff, I mean, you know, you look at read the script of Top Gun or something. I mean, it's a little... You know, the Val Kilmer Iceman lines. You are still dangerous. You know, all those just cheeseball scripts. But, man, they were blockbusters. Why? Because of the script? Because of the corny lines? No, it's because it was Tom Cruise was in it, and he was a huge star. And that was all there was to it. It was just a Tom Cruise vehicle. You know, it was like that for a long time with a lot of those types of dudes. You know, action or if he was in Rain Man or whatever. I mean, It was just the stars were there. They came out on the red carpet at the premiere, and man, it's just whatever they made. People regarded it very seriously. And now, man, they're just. He pointed out. I don't have the article in front of me here, but a lot of these guys, like older guys, again, you know, Cruise and Pitt and De Niro and Nicholson, they make movies now that just, you know, just disappear upon release, just go straight to DVD, maybe one opening day weekend in a theater. But man, if it's not 3D and it's not a superhero and all that, no one's going to go see it. End of story, you know. And who are the young actors out there, real movie stars? I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio was one, I think, wasn't he? I mean, Titanic, you think, man, this guy's a mega star. And he's been in interesting films since then, most notably Catch Me If You Can, which is a great, one of my all-time favorite movies. If you've never seen that, check that out. I don't know. He makes a movie, doesn't he? DiCaprio every couple of years, some Scorsese thing. I don't know. It does well. I'm not putting it down, but you kind of thought after Titanic that, man, Leo, just whatever he's in is going to be a huge blockbuster. Look at Titanic. But, man, it's not about the actor. That was kind of what the thing was. The release of Titanic was an event in and of itself. The star of that was James Cameron, the director. And the article goes on to really make that point that it's really the directors that see themselves as the star, the person with the vision for the movie. And the actors are kind of, they clamor to be in the movie, you know, to be a part of it. And I don't know, man. I think it'd be very, very tough being an actor these days. Don't you think? Remember my good friend Max Hartman told that great U2 story? He lived out in L.A. for a long time. He came and did three or four podcasts. How you doing, Maxwell? Hope you're doing well out there, man. An actor in L.A. and in Dallas still. And he kind of pointed that out in a different way, that, you know, he'd done some commercial work and stuff like that. He just said, but man, it's just not like a while back where you had real shows on TV with a cast, where you could get cast in a comedy or a sitcom or a drama, a weekly drama. It's all just Jersey Shore. It's just reality garbage. There's no acting on TV anymore. And even in the movies, man, I mean, someone like Ryan Reynolds, or if you're an emerging star today in Hollywood, your best gig, your biggest, highest profile deal, your biggest payday is going to be, Green Lantern, or I'm starring as Captain America or something. But man, you're just reading a bad script, standing in front of a green screen, just, look out, you know, that's all you're doing. I don't know, man. I don't know what the future is. I think of a director like Wes Anderson, who is just the most cerebral, funny guy. He did a Rushmore and the Royal Tenenbaums, Fantastic Mr. Fox. You know, man, he is a real, real, real filmmaker in the old form, you know, in of the old era. He writes the script. He is a visionary director, very cerebral. But, you know, his films, I think, you know, by box office standards, really struggle. Now, great actors want to be in his films because they're rare that there's a script out there that's got a little money behind it that's going to have a release. So you do get, you know, your Gene Hackmans and guys like that that come up. Bill Murray is in a lot of Wes Anderson films. So he's out there, you know, but then you kind of, I don't know, man. There's just a long drop of people. I mean, some guy emerges every year and wins an Oscar, and then you kind of, I don't know, you never hear from him again, it seems like. You know, we need to get old John Reynolds here in the building, filmmaker, and he'll come in here and challenge me. We can debate movies. We can debate movies and their relevance. Is the movie star dead? I'll ask Reynolds that same question at some point. Look forward to that. Discuss amongst yourselves in the meantime. Well, we have come to that point in the show, here on the podcast, where I will stagger over to the vault of vinyl records here, place my hands on an item, and take a good listen to it. And you know, if you know me pretty well, and some of you do, and you listen to this program, with all those records piled over there, stacked, randomly arranged against the wall, there's a damn good chance it might have Bob Dylan on it. Check it out. See if it all happens. See if the odds play out in the vault next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast with you here, sweating it out in the summer. How you doing, everybody? Well, we got over to the vault here. What happens when Phil walks over to his own big pile of records? Well, the chances are high that Dylan's going to be in there somewhere. And boy, do we have a good one for you here today. One of my favorites for a lot of reasons. This is Before the Flood. Before the Flood, the legendary live double album, Bob Dylan and the Band, 1974, chronicling their 1974 tour. It's cool that they recorded this in early 1974, and it was released in June 74, just a little while later. A lot of different performances. You got to remember, Dylan was, he had the, after the motorcycle wreck and all that kind of thing, in 1966 when it was, Dylan had quit touring. He was kind of a recluse a little bit. During the whole Woodstock times, late 60s and all that, Dylan lived up there, Woodstock, but was notably absent from all those sort of hippie kind of festivities. He was, he'd gotten married, he had a family, was living up there in New York, but he started, and that's where he kind of met the guys in the Band, of course, Robbie Robertson, Levon Helm, and all the guys we love, the Last Waltz dudes. But Dylan had started playing with them late 60s, just kind of messing around, what later became the Basement Tapes and all that was kind of their forays into playing music together. So they hit the road here. This was sort of a rebirth for Dylan in a way, touring with a band for the first time in a while. And they're playing, pretty big arenas, a hockey-sized, hockey rink, arenas kind of size. And I'm not as really into, there's a lot of good Band live albums out there. You got the Last Waltz, of course, and the film, and Rock of Ages, and at the Band. There's a lot of stuff. There's not just a ton of great Dylan live stuff out there. There's the bootleg stuff that's really great. But this is the highlight of this whole record for me is the solo Dylan set in the middle of it. He does all of his kind of, bigger kind of hits, Lay, 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 and Knocking on Heaven's Door and stuff with the Band. And they play everything really fast, which I love. It really pushes. A lot of energy on this album. But Dylan plays acoustic here in the middle. And it's just riveting, man. He does three or four songs. I'm going to really play those for you here today. The first one, he does Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Nice and fast, but razor-sharp phrasing. And, a lot of people kind of laugh at Dylan's harmonica playing. But listen to the whip-ass harmonica solo in this rendition here. Dylan, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. Check it out.
Turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. Still I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway, so don't think twice, it's all right. But it ain't no use in calling out my name, babe, like you never did before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, babe, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering, oh, walking down the road, I once loved a woman, a child I'm told. I've given my heart, but she wanted my soul. But don't think twice, it's all right. Down that long, lonesome road, babe, I'm bound, I can't tell. But goodbye is too good a word, babe, so I'll just say fairly well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind, you could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time, but don't think twice, it's alright.
Oh, man. That gives me chills. It really, really does. It's just, it's so effortless, man. It's just spilling out of him. Just spilling out of him in volumes. You know, an older song of his off of, you know, way back from the Freewheeling Bobby Dylan album. I don't know, what, 62 or something like that. Here he is 12-something years later. And just letting it rip, man. Words as poignant as ever before. Bob Dylan here. Before the flood with the band. The band's on a break right now. They're backstage drinking punch and having themselves some cookies before they come out for the next set. While Bob is on stage. Acoustic guitar and harmonica. Well, man, one of my favorite Dylan songs of all time is this next one. You know, man, so many bands. I hear it all the time, all you guys out there. Man, we want our live show to sound just like the album. We don't want to record with a piano on the album because then we don't tour with a piano. I'm just like, have you guys ever heard of Bob Dylan or anybody from back then? This is just how you play it today, man. Let's just make it sound good. If we like it and it's fun, keep it. And then when you go play live, it's just something different entirely. I don't know. Listen to my early versions of Skywalker and Maria on my first album. It's laughable when you see us do it now or listen to it on one of the Cool and Unusual records. I don't know. They just evolve. They're different every time you play it. A great indication of this in the Dylan world is this next version of It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding. One of my favorite songs off of his Bringing It All Back Home album. Years before, 65, whenever that was. Here he is, 74. You got to remember, man, Watergate was going on right now. So listen to the crowd when he says, even the President of the United States must have to stand naked. And the crowd just roars. And, man, you really got to pay attention here. Listen how fast he goes. I don't know, man. He's just jacked up during this song. Who knows on what or why, but the result is pure listening joy for me and other Dylan fans. It's all right, Ma. I'm only bleeding.
darkness at the break of noon, shadows, even the silver spoon, the handmaid played the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon. They'll understand, you know, too soon, there is no sense in trying. Pointed threads that they pluck with scorn, the suicide remarks are torn, when the fool's gold mouthpiece, a hollow horn, plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born, is a busy dying. Temptation's page flies out the door, you finally find yourself at war, watch waterfalls of pity roar, feel the moment unlike before, you discover that there's just be one more person crying. Don't fear if you hear that foreign sound in your ear. It's all right, Mom. I'm only sighing. Some horn to victory, some downfall. Private reasons, great or small, can be seen in the eyes of those that call and make all that should be killed a crawl. While others say don't hate nothing at all except hatred. Disillusion words are like a bullet spark. Is a human god's aim for the mark? Make everything from toy guns that spark. The flesh colored Christ that glow in the dark. Easy to see without looking too far. Not much is really sacred. While preachers preach of evil fates, teachers teach that knowledge waits. Can lead you to $100 plates. Goodness hides behind its gates. But even the President of the United States sometimes will have to stand naked. Though the rules of the road have been lashed, it's people's games you've got to dodge. But it's all right, Mo, I can make it. Advertising signs that con you into thinking you're the one that can do what's never been done, that can win what's never been won. Meantime, life outside goes on around you. You lose yourself, you reappear. You suddenly find you've got nothing to fear. Alone you stand with nobody near, when a trembling distant voice unclear startles your sleeping ears to hear someone thinks they really found you. Questioning your nerves is lit, yet you know there is no answer fit to satisfy. Sure you're not to quit, keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. And though the masters make the rules for the wise men and the fools, I got nothing more to live up to. Old lady churches watch people in pairs, limited in sex they dare. The push fake malls insult and stare. Money doesn't talk, it swears. Obscenity, who really cares? Propaganda all is phony. While in that defend what they cannot see, with the killer's blind security, it blows the minds most bitterly. For them that think death's honesty won't fall upon them naturally. Life sometimes must get lonely. My eyes collide head on with stuffed graveyards, false goals I scuff at pettiness, which plays so rough, walk upside down inside handcuffs, kick my legs to crash it off, say all right, I've had enough, what else can you show me? And if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. But it's all right, no. It's life and life only.
Money doesn't talk, it swears. Propaganda all is phony. If my mind's thoughts could be seen, they'd put my head in a guillotine. He says more in that song right there than artists anywhere in the world say in an entire lifetime. If I hear one more person say, man, I like Dylan, man. I just hate his voice, and it's too bad he sucks live. Really? Really? Oh, I know he's a 70-year-old man. Maybe he doesn't do what he once could do. But go back, folks. Check the books. History doesn't lie, dude. It's all sitting right there for you on Before the Flood. Dylan on fire, spewing truth and vitriol in every possible direction, faster than you can even digest it, as the crowd roars, and even as the band sits in the wings watching him. Take over Madison Square Garden and just blow people's minds lyrically. Shoot, man, harmonica solos, everything. Maybe Dylan at his very best. This whole live album led up to it was this big, successful tour, huge grossing tour for Dylan, one of his biggest. And then his next studio album was a little album called Blood on the Tracks. God, this 70s Dylan stuff is just amazing, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people, everybody talks about his 60s stuff, especially, with the protest songs and Going Electric and all that, and rightly so. But, man, you kind of go back to these early 70s, man, at least as a live performer, man. He really came into his own, on stage, leading a band, spewing, changing up the arrangements to his tunes and everything. And we are all the better for it. Dylan, Before the Flood, with the band, 1974. Check it out. That is what we have for you here in the vault today, folks. Ah, it makes me want to pick up my guitar and just start writing. That's what I'm going to do right now. But before I do that, I'll leave you with another great Dylan tune here from his solo set here on Before the Flood. Just Like a Woman, just like a woman, ding, 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 she makes love from blonde on blonde. Is that what he's going to do? No garbage. You're out there sitting there watching Dylan, sitting there in the dark stage, a single spotlight. The band has gone off the stage. What's he going to do now? He just starts playing this one chord. Nobody feels any pain. Just evoking. Sink into this. Bob Dylan, Just Like a Woman. That's all the time we have here on the podcast this week, folks. Book Phil Pritchett and the full band. Or come record at the studio, man. Loving it. All you guys coming in. Red, Will Harrell. Oh, man, Casey Berry was in here playing. Thanks a lot, guys. It's been a great summer. Call me 817-733-5256 or Phil at philpritchett.com. Come record at the studio, man. We're having a great summer here doing it. We'll leave you with Bob here. We'll see you next week on the podcast, folks. Take care. Much tougher.
Nobody feels anything. Tonight as I stand inside the rain, everybody knows baby's got new clothes. But lately I've seen the ribbons in her bows have fallen from her curls. She drinks just like a woman, and she aches just like a woman, and she waits just like a woman. Yeah, but she breaks just like a little girl. Queen Mary, she's a man. Yes, I believe I could see her again. Nobody has to guess that baby can't be blessed. Yes, she sees her finally. She's like all the rest. In her fall with her amphetamine and her birth. She tastes just like a woman, and she wakes just like a woman, and and she aches just like a woman, but she breaks just like a little girl. It was raining from the first, and I was dying out of thirst, so I came in here. And your long time curse hurts, but what's worse is there's a pain in here. I can't stay in here. Ain't it clear that I just don't feel? Yes, I believe it's the time for us to quit. And when we meet again, introduced as friends, please don't let on that you knew me well. I was hungry and it was your world. You take just like a woman, and you wait just like a woman, and you make love just like a woman, but you're brave just like a little girl.